Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 8th. Joining us this morning is REDEC Executive Director, Mr. Greg Foster. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, let's see. We had the first inoculation. Chuck Yeager died yesterday.
Yeah.
And John Lennon died. It's the 40th anniversary of Lennon's death. So
exactly.
It's a milestone day.
Well, the sun's coming out.
Yeah, we got fog off the bay. What's it like in Ferndale? Are you foggy?
Oh, it's clear and sunny here.
Oh.
Well, as it always is.
Now, Fortuna's got that claim. You can't do that one. And too many people have been there during the county fair to know better.
Exactly.
All right, Winston.
It's beautiful out here this morning.
Why do we say it?
Got a quiz for you here. How did quiz come into the English language?
Huh.
Oh, my goodness. Is it related to the word quizzling? I have no idea.
I'm thinking it's related to a sandwich.
Yeah, there you go.
Greg was closer on that one.
Okay, so
it's believed to be influenced by this and sound and meaning to the word inquisition, but it came because of a bet. A man named Daly, who was manager of the Dublin Theater, made a bet that he would introduce into the English language within 24 hours a new word with no meaning. He chalked up the four letters Q-U-I-Z. While the people were inquiring, they kept asking, quiz, what does it mean?
Ah.
That's it?
Sure. There you go.
Okay. Well, I'm flummoxed.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah. Not in a very, very, very long time.
No.
Yeah. So what are you hearing from the folks that you have helped out with the gap financing here in the last two or three business days? Concern, quiet confidence, things okay, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What does your barometer say right now?
I think the answer to your question is yes. All of the above. Nothing hurts business more than uncertainty, of course, because you don't know how to plan for it. And or plan effectively for it necessarily. We do have some that are very concerned. There's a few things happening. Obviously, the pandemic surge and resultant shutdown are an issue. You can add to that, there was this big capital infusion, of course, that came through with the PPP loans and other programs that are, people are running through anyway. And right now we haven't had anything from the CARES Act that Congress did a bill pass. And so, now we're, at the end of December, we're, certain unemployment benefits, other benefits will be running out. And so there will be another drying up of capital. And so you can add all of that. Some businesses are doing still pretty well. And we talked to them. And some of them are, manufacturing or something like that really aren't affected by this. But others, of course, are more, our restaurants, our retailers are much more concerned and are doing the best they can. But there's a lot of concern for the next few months, quite honestly. I think we're in a critical time right now where you're going to see those who are operating now and has stayed open during this whole time, we're really coming to a critical decision point probably in January and February where they decide, can I keep this up for another few months or should I just, call it good and move on and try to find something new for when life returns to whatever normal will be. And, for those, we're hoping that there will be some sort of relief coming in January, February, March that will keep those folks in business and we'll see what happens. Certainly we will do what we can. But for many of those, we don't want to recommend necessarily taking on more debt. Now, the good news is that PPP loan is forgivable. And so a lot of those folks have just took that on then we'll have that forgiven or already have been forgiven. So maybe they want to take on a little more debt for cash flow for a few months until the spring. You know, that's going to be a decision that they have to.
Well, the question with that one, Greg, is, okay, let's say Papstein Esquire, ha, 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 that'll never happen, is in a situation and I am, let's say, a restaurant, and I'm wanting to get some kind of something to make it through the end. So maybe 3 months, 4 months. Well, right. But my numbers have been declining. My trend is down. My costs are obviously down too, but you know, it would it be a sustainable model? Probably not. So how likely is it for a business in that scenario to be able to get financing to cover that short-term window because of the general risky nature of the business climate? Or let's say even better yet, they're a retailer locally.
Yeah, exactly. No, you bring up a good point because, you know, certainly from a traditional traditional lender, the banks, credit unions, et cetera, you want to see the ability to repay. And even for REDAC, you know, we don't just hand money out. You got to show that you have an ability to repay. And quite often, and what we do is when a business comes in and says they want a loan, we say, okay, let's do, you know, show us your business plan and what you're going to do with the money and how it's going to grow your business and give us 2 years of projection. Well, that assumes when you say that certain things will happen, certain things won't happen, and you know, you have a somewhat clear understanding of the way that the market in the future will be, not completely certain, but certain, you know, enough to go on that you can make educated guesses. Well, a lot of that's been thrown out, right? We don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, and so we suggest that every business comes to us and enrolled with the Small Business Development Center.
And we'll take it from that point when we come back. It's 8:19. Okay.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with a recovering Mr. Foster.
Yeah.
Not doing push-ups right now, right?
No.
Okay.
It's amazing what age can do to your body, and sometimes unexpectedly.
So. Yeah. One step at a time, literally.
Exactly. Oh.
So let's kind of catch up where we were. Go ahead.
So what I'm saying is we encourage everyone to go to the Small Business Development Center and be very clear-eyed. You know, there's hope, but there's false hope. And be very clear-eyed about, you know, how long, you know, can you survive? When would you need these events of revenue to occur? And can you wait that long? And, you know, some people may just come up with the decision that, you know, we just can't do it. You know, we had a, you know, pretty good summer. We had a pretty good fall. This weather was decent. We had a lot of people coming into the community from elsewhere because of either COVID or the fires. So some businesses did pretty well and some adapted pretty well. And quite honestly, every year is terrible for most retail and certainly restaurants and bars and some of the other more leisure related or, you know, consumer related businesses in Humboldt County. January, February is always sort of the doldrums and the death. And you hope that you did well enough through the previous year to get you through that. And then March and April and May and June, of course, things pick up again. What we don't have is, of course, that big buffer that may have come from a good year prior. And so, you know, it's hard for businesses who are scrambling day to day, just trying to meet the bills and stay open, to sit down and say, okay, I need to plan the next 6 months and come to that decision. But now is the time, really, to do that.
So if the businesses have made the adjustments, I mean, there are some that have, just as people have learned that they don't have to necessarily come into the office to work, businesses, some, have also figured out that perhaps they don't need the employment base that they had before by either scheduling differently or, you know, their flow of their business cycles a little bit differently. So with that as a variable, with the marketplace as a variable, with the trends being up in the air and then all the chicanery that's going on, how do you sit down and put together something that you can have even a modicum of confidence in?
Right, right. Well, we don't know what the consumer will be doing necessarily and how they things have changed so rapidly. You know, when this vaccine gets out and the pandemic kind of tails off, or, you know, whatever is going to be happening and when. It's interesting, you know, so much of, I think, of what is going on here, some has been a change in direction in terms of consumer habits and how we work and all that great stuff. But I think some of it also has just been a real condensing of a timeline of things that are already occurring. You know, certainly online retail was having an effect on you know, brick and mortar retail prior to the pandemic. And the trend was going a certain direction, obviously. It just got really compressed in the last year. So now, you know, you can get almost anything that way. And so that's going to affect people. And so, you know, for retailers and retail districts, like, say, for example, groups of retailers, one of the questions is, okay, so why do people really come out and shop? Is it just to buy stuff, or is it to buy stuff in an environment that has a lot of other, you know, attributes to it that you don't get through online shopping?
For sure,
example, you can go shop and then go have a coffee, or go to shop and go have a bar. There's some music playing.
Right.
There's other
stimulus that are out there, including bumping into buddies and friends and, you know, seeing things that, you know, getting out of the house, so to speak.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I think that people will be really ready to get out of the house come next spring. And so there's, you know, maybe good opportunities there to acquire, reacquire people who are finally getting out and taking advantage of that.
So what do you see the landscape locally as? More openings or less available space as people are coming to town? Maybe they don't want to work out of their house, but they'll have a small little office tucked away somewhere that, you know, at least allows them to get out, but they're not having the commute drives of L.A. or Sacramento or the Bay Area.
Well, there's some really interesting numbers coming out of the Bay Area and elsewhere about the number of people that are moving out of those places. And again, you know, and we've had this conversation for years and years and years. Even it used to be Silicon Valley, you know, and you looked at the sort of satisfaction index of people who live in San Jose or whatever, and, you know, traffic, cost, all this stuff. I mean, they were really unhappy there. but they were there because that's where their jobs were. And so, you know, there was some discussion of, okay, so how do we capture those people and get them here? Now, we kept having those discussions, and, you know, we want to get better broadband, we want to get better air service, all this stuff to make it easier for people to do those kind of jobs in an area that is remote but can't be isolated. And so with COVID, that's really accelerated. I mean, we see some real numbers, and so
We'll share what some of those numbers are when we come back from the break. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222 That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bear Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop with Greg Foster this morning, sponsor of this program. Wow.
Yay.
No, he's not narcissistic. He just want to know. Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Moving and Storage, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, CDH Painting, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Greg, before the break, we were talking about some of the numbers are starting to show reflecting some of the demographic changes, either people leaving the cultural battles of metropolitan areas, fire, drought, basically everything other than the grasshoppers, and coming coming our way. How is that just intuitive that it's happening, or are the numbers starting to really reflect that this is in fact happening and will be continuing to?
Well, one of the numbers I found interesting, and I think I may have mentioned on a previous show, is we had a meeting where we got a presentation, and this was a couple months ago at least, with someone from the Humboldt Association of Realtors, and they were talking about, you know, how the time to market, or time on market for homes and prices, you know, prices were going up, time on market was going down in Humboldt County. And about at the time, about a third of the home sales for the period they looked at were people from out of the area. And then I've read, you know, articles about, and some of this, you know, you don't know if it's permanent moves or people who are just temporarily, you know, moving back in with family out of the, you know, maybe they're younger folks or something like that. They give up their rent and move back in with their parents to wait this out. But there were numbers in San Francisco proper, I believe, where they saw a real significant amount of, I think it was using cell phone data and some other stuff, where people who were located in San Francisco were now not there. And so, you know, it's hard to draw, you know, conclusions on the long-term effects of this going forward. But you know, we're also seeing, like, office space and you know, there's been some publicity around some of the larger tech companies who have headquarters in San Francisco who are saying, you know, maybe we don't need all this really high-priced office space and force our people to live in a really expensive area, that we can now distribute the workload among smaller communities and still get work done and actually lower our costs. And so so I think there is some reality to this. And you know, there's been a fair amount of discussion of this in the sort of public realm, even across the country. And I think I mentioned earlier on a previous show that we did, where even in our discussions with United Airlines, their economists and their long-term planners are also looking at that as something that they need to respond to, that they really do believe that there'll be this shift from really concentrated urban areas coming out to smaller cities and communities as people, you know, disperse out of those areas. And again, that may have been, you know, that may have been something that was going to happen anyway, just because of economics and the logistics and physically trying to just get people jammed into those cities, which were not prepared for that. This may have just accelerated that.
You know, well, the question I've got with this, Greg, is, okay, that's nice, and if they're coming here, that's dandy. But are there compensation levels going to remain the same? Because all of a sudden, if we start seeing folks from, let's say, Petaluma to San Jose that are in these employment positions that are compensated at Bay Area levels, you bring those guys up here, and they're in the top, you know, 2-3% of wage earners up here. That bodes very well, because obviously they're going to have a lot of discretionary dollars to be able to spend doing things, supporting things, being engaged with, you know, this nonprofit, that nonprofit, this, you know, that's one mix. Somebody coming here, buying a house, retiring, and living on fixed income, well, that's a whole different profile.
Correct. And you know, not that we don't love the retirees come here and live, but we really do like working age, you know, folks coming here as well. And because they are, investing in the future, they're having kids, they're doing some of these other things that are good for an economy. And so, yeah, if it's these workers coming up, not just equity refugees who are, you know, retired and decide to sell their home and come up here and buy a home and sort of live out their days, that does have a different impact on the community, and we need to be prepared for it. And prepared for the positive and the negative aspects of that. For example, you know, if they're coming up and they're willing to bid against each other and bid up the cost of housing, or if we just had more people and housing is available, then, you know, that's a negative impact on the community in some sense. And so we need to prepare for that, to make sure there's plenty of housing and all that. The other thing is we have to, you know, quality of life is great. You know, it's why I came back to Humboldt County and you know, live in a nice town and love it. But there are things you must have to be able to do work, right? And so when we talk about retirees coming here, it's like, okay, we need good health care. We need some of the other things that are related to folks as they age in place and get older. Well, we need to have that same mindset for people who are coming here to work, and especially in the industries that are out there in the future. Because while they may want to come here to get away and be more remote, they cannot be isolated. So that means we need, you know, excellent broadband. We need good transportation. We need, you know, the cultural amenities and everything else they require, literally require. You know, it's not like, oh, it's just nice to have good restaurants and entertainment, all that. No, they're, you know, people make decisions based on that.
That's all part of that equation for that decision making. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, the concept of trying to prepare for the future. In the first segment, we were talking about not really knowing what the future is going to be because of trends, because of changes, because of social dynamics, because of the health situation that the country is dealing with now. So how do we prepare for the future if we don't know what the next little bit is?
You know, how do we prepare for the future? Well, ask me in a few years from the future's past, and I'll tell you. You know, one of the things that we really counsel our businesses, for example, and this is more difficult now, obviously in the COVID times and lack of revenue, but you know, we really take a balance sheet approach, which is, you know, try to be as nimble as you can, that means, you know, keeping the debt as low as you can, keeping cash on hand rather than spending it, so that you can respond quickly to areas that, you know, or things that might happen. Now that's very easy to say and very hard to do, obviously, because a lot of our businesses are very thin margins and whatever else. The other thing we tell them, again, and I'm going to do one more plug for the Small Business Development Center, is don't try to do it on your own. And you know, we have a lot of current and former business owners that act as counselors to small businesses that will, you know, that may have already gone through some of this stuff, and it can give their best advice based on real world experience, which is great. You know, we've talked a lot about demographic trends and demographic shifts. And you'll love this. I remember when I was in the radio advertising business many moons ago, and I know you always love this. We would go to try to sell somebody advertising, and they go, you know, I would do it, but I really don't like your station that much. and you know, the response, of course, is, so are you your own market, or what are your customers supposed to do? Like, well, yeah, but I just don't like the music or whatever else. But, you know, let's pull some emotion out of this and really start to think clear-eyed about who, you know, who your customer is, who your customer can be, and really try to use whatever tools you have to reach them, go that way. Is there a panacea? Is there a magic bullet? No, there never has been. And the issue is now, of course, that our future seems to, you used to say, well, what's going to happen in 6 months, or what's going to happen in 12 months? Where do you think it's going to, where are the market going to go? Now it's, are we open tomorrow or next week or not? And what's going on with that? So planning is really difficult. I guess the bottom line is don't try to do it by yourself. Find other business owners, find, counselors, something, and work with them. We've had a number of people said, it's just great to talk it through with folks. And there's a certain peacefulness that comes out of that, either, making decisions to keep going and try to grow, or decisions to not. And you are operating in that realm of uncertainty.
Yeah, a comfort level of confidence, right, is priceless.
Right. And I wish I had better answers for this, but we struggle with it even in our organization. We're supported by a whole group of small businesses that pay back their loans to us, and so we're constantly looking at, okay, so how are these people doing? Can we provide them some cash flow relief?
Well, give me a call when you need some more input.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
All righty, buddy. Hey, get well, okay?
Hey, I will. Yeah. Two punctual
shoulders here. All righty. Thanks, Greg. See everybody tomorrow.
Right, thank you.